We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. 5, 4, 3, 2,
so what we learned yesterday is that Keith can't wait to see Saquon Barkley's naked pictures, and he's really curious about whether or not Dallas Keuchel is a hairy man.
I'm pretty certain he is, but we'll find out soon enough. And Saquon Barkley looks incredible in shorts and a t-shirt. So, Dale, you can only imagine.
Well, no, they leaked a picture yesterday. I said he's got like a 12-pack.
See, I wanted to wait to see the full spread. I didn't want to just see one. It'd be too much of a tease.
That's the phrase I'd use if I were
No, it is the phrase I'm going to use. I'm just looking forward to it. The guy's he's very well built. He's inspiring everybody who's going to see
handsome
that.
Handsome man.
Handsome man is right. Very strong, strapping man.
God.
No?
Stop.
What's wrong with that? That's the whole point of the issue.
While you're still
look at these guys.
Not
look at these athletes. Look at these athletes.
But you're happy you came in today, huh, Tomasi?
Yeah, I don't really have much to say off the top.
You're not so far. You don't want to see Saquon Barkley in the body issue?
No.
All right, John.
No interest.
All right, John.
Charlotte Flair?
No, I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo, maybe.
Yes. How about this guy scoring
another
goal?
He's not in it.
Goal?
Sorry. Yeah.
No, not
this year. They've only scored four in the tournament. He has all four.
He's pretty good. Although you don't need the body issue for him because they always like Instagram pictures like him and like his girlfriends on these boats. And these European guys, Dale, here's a little thing about them.
Oh, wow.
They wear the smallest bathing suits ever. Like
if you even call them that.
I don't know what it is. It's a little banana hammock. He's out there wearing
grape
that.
Grape smuggler.
Yeah, you're like, okay, fine. So he doesn't really even need to be in the body issue. We've already seen it.
Or you pretty much all you need to imagine anyway.
Right.
So I'm sort of wondering about this, and Tomasi's the exact guy to ask this question of as we begin the program. And Alex Cora is going to join us in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, as he does each and every week. Why is it Red Sox fans pick a guy who they've got to get rid of? And I'll tell you right now, the guy at this moment for Red Sox fans is Jackie Bradley Jr., when there are much worse candidates for guys who are not providing anything to this team than him, and yet he's the guy that fans, get him the hell out of there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. Like, Mark Bellhorn was definitely that guy.
Oh, remember the
Get
Bellhorn?
Get rid of Bellhorn.
And by the way, Bellhorn had a great
huge
year.
Huge hits in the World Series.
Hated him. Yeah. Julio Lugo.
He
I think from
stink,
day one.
Yeah.
But from the minute they signed him. Well, Jackie Bradley also kind of stinks, doesn't he? Are you saying that?
Offensively, he does stink.
Well, it's a big part of the game.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the
game.
But I mean, like, second base has been a black hole.
Catcher for a lot of the year has been a black hole.
Bradley.
Evan Drellick tweeted this stuff out last night. He does the 2018 American League team position performance using wins above average, using WAR. For instance, all pitchers, the Red Sox are number one in WAR at 10.4.
All right.
Starting pitchers, they're second to Cleveland at 6.0. Relief pitchers, Red Sox are first.
Houston isn't the number one starters pitching?
Kluber's having an awesome
starter,
year.
No, I know. Starter, they're third.
Okay.
Anyway. Moving along here. Now, just as a for instance, right field, the Red Sox are number one in the American League in WAR.
Yeah, should be.
3.1, and that's probably not too hard to figure out. Center field, I'll save center field for a moment.
Okay.
Left field, they're third in the American League.
And so that's kind of a combination of when J.D. Martinez is out there, but also obviously a lot of
Benintendi.
Mostly
Benintendi.
That's 1,000 OPS between them.
Right.
First base, they're third in the American League.
First base is really down. Remember back in the good old days of baseball when first base, you would have like Frank Thomas isn't an all-star this year because there's like 9 first basemen that are awesome.
Yeah, and they averaged like 39 homers.
They all did. Yeah. Every single one of them. And the guys wouldn't make it. But now there's nobody.
Catcher, the Red Sox are 14th out of 15 teams in the American League.
Sounds high.
I was going to say, doesn't it?
And they're just barely ahead of Minnesota, who is dead last at 15th.
Yeah.
Second base, the Red Sox are 14th out of 15 teams in the American League.
Again, sounds right.
It's been brutal there, yeah.
Third base, the Red Sox are dead last, 15th out of 15 in WAR. Center field, JBJ, for the most part, they're 7th.
That's exactly what I was going to guess. Middle of the pack, because his defense is so good.
And that's the thing. People keep saying, you know, you got to get him out of the lineup. He does bring something to the table here. He brings a remarkable glove and a pretty good arm, by the way, if you weren't watching last night.
Glove let him down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, what was that before that?
But that's frustrating.
But the arm was insane.
Unbelievable.
Oh, he's got an arm and a half, but that's frustrating. When you have a guy in there, and the reason he stays in the lineup is because of his defense, and then he kind of lets you down there.
But my point here is the Red Sox are much worse at three other positions. If you look at WAR, catcher, second base, and third base have all been disastrous. And I heard Lou Midday Show a little while ago talking about this. He disagrees with putting the Red Sox dead last at third. You know, he thinks Devers has been a little better than that. I don't think anybody would complain about second base and catcher. You'd wonder, you know, is Pedroia going to come back and help salvage second base? Catcher, you are what you are.
Yeah, and your pitching staff is great, and the catchers are a big part of that. So you
now,
can accept
this,
it.
This might be nitpicking a little bit of the stack. Because I think overall, I get what the point is on Bradley. But again, that's center field.
The point is, and he brings more to the table than Red Sox fans give him credit for.
Okay, but I would
because
say,
some Red Sox fans who aren't quite as knowledgeable as others say, oh, he's hitting 179.
But Bennett, well, you know, he's, yeah, right. But why can't you say that? Like, that's terrible.
No, I'm saying that's the only thing.
No, but he's good defensively. Fine. Okay. But if you have a better replacement, and right now they don't, like, and not just a center field replacement, because it could either be Benintendi or Betts, more likely Benintendi, who, by the way, has played 22 games in center, and Betts has played a handful of games in center. So does that sway the numbers a little bit? Like, if it was,
that should help.
That's what I'm saying. It would help the center field numbers. So if it was just Bradley, maybe they'd be a little bit lower. But they don't have the guy. Like, we were trying to figure out, okay, if you have an outfield of Martinez, Benintendi, and Betts, and Bradley is out, now what? Now you have Devers or Nunez at third or at DH, and you have Holt every day at second. Like, you don't have – it's one thing if Pedroia was playing and Holt was swinging a hot bat, then maybe you do have a better lineup out there. But you get worse defensively, obviously, but I don't even know how much of an upgrade you are offensively. So now Nunez gets more at-bats than Bradley. Like, okay. That's a slight advantage, but I don't know if that's enough to knock
him out.
It
doesn't offset as the step back you take defensively. It doesn't offset that.
Right. No, but to answer your question of why,
there is a guy every year, and he's the guy this year.
Yeah, and I think the reason is it's six years of this. You know, he had the one great half where he made the All-Star team, but he's been in the big leagues parts of 6 years. He's hit below 200 in three of them, if you're counting this year. And I know, you know, the first one was only 37 games, but 2014, he hit 198 for the entire season.
I think
season.
The other point with him, too, is, well, first of all, you have a lot of guys playing well. So a lot of guys are going to avoid criticism because, you know, Mookie Betts could be the MVP or JD Martinez could be the MVP. Sale's one of the best. Like, you have a lot of guys playing really well. Bradley's also 28. So it's one thing with Devers. You're saying, you'd like to see him, you know, be a little bit more consistent. Yeah, he just turned 21. You're going to wait that one out. Or at least you should. Maybe not everybody would, but you should be a little bit more patient with him. With Bradley, he's 28. He's a .233 career hitter. He's hitting .182 this year. And you say, all right, is this what this guy is? He's good for a hot month every once in a while. That's why. And baseball, you're going to get on these guys. You see him play every single night. You're going to get on him a little bit. And he seems to be the one getting. And
they have other candidates, by the way.
All right, who?
Well, I'm saying the catching position, the second base position, the third base position.
Okay, so
they have other guys who are bringing less to the table than he's bringing to the table.
But I think it's the name value. First of all, everybody knows who he is. He's been here long enough. He was a one-time All-Star, even though it's kind of fluky. He had a hot month in the first half of the season, made an All-Star. But that's true. So I don't think people are going to say, hey, they got to get rid of Sandy Leon. They got to get rid of Christian Vasquez. Sure, you'd like an upgrade at catcher, but there's not even that many good catchers in all of baseball. If you're going to complain about Devers, I guess you're just not patient at all. And then if you're going to complain about the second baseman, that's fine. But don't we know that the real second baseman is coming back next month?
Maybe. Hopefully.
The hope is. Yeah. You don't know for sure. But that's the hope. Like, the guy playing second base right now, whoever's in the lineup tonight at second base, you're hoping come playoff time, come second half of the season, is not your second baseman.
Right.
Whereas Bradley, unless they make a real roster move, he is your center fielder now through the rest of the year.
The other thing is he's one guy that you can point to every single day. Second base, you might have Holt.
It's a different guy.
Nunez.
That's true, too.
Catcher is a platoon. Third base is a little different, but you give Devers more slack because of the age and because we've already seen Benintendi struggle and then become really good.
Yeah, he's got 12 dingers.
Struggle, you know, and then Devers become really good. And Devers is providing power, so at least you can point to something offensively. Jackie Bradley has been there day after day.
That's a good point.
Every day for the last 4 or 5 years. I think that it's an accumulation.
I'll also, and I always hesitate, you know, to take the comments of a player in the aftermath of a tough loss too much, you know, and put too much stock in it. But you certainly get the sense that Chris Sale's a little frustrated right now. Said some things post-game last night. By the way, Justin Verlander had as frustrating a night as Chris Sale had, you know, where he struck out a whole bunch of guys and walked one and they lose 2-1. And it's going to happen. I understand that. It's why we don't look at win-loss records for pitchers, because it's so capricious, you don't know. But you get the sense that Chris Sale feels like they're sort of wasting away a pretty good season that he's putting together.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox are 13-1 when Erod starts. And what are they, like 8-8 when Sale starts or something like
maybe
that?
Maybe 8-6.
So, yeah, something along those lines.
Or maybe it is 8-8, yeah. Because, he had 16 starts, so it's not 8-6. I can promise
that's
you
Chris
that.
That's Chris Curtis, man.
Yeah, but you see, you know, two runs and he gets a no decision. You know, he had the start against the White Sox where he allowed one run over eight and actually took the loss in that game. So it's been an issue. Every year there's always a pitcher that just doesn't get run support, it feels like. There's always one guy that ends up, you know, being on the wrong end of it. You know, the ERA is 2.74, and yet the record, like Dale says, we don't really look at starting pitchers' records, but he's made 16 starts, and he himself only has 6 wins, and the team has 8. And that's just, you don't know if it's one of those things where, you know, when the ace is on the mound, even though you might not be outwardly thinking it or talking about it, but you just feel like, hey, we only need to get a couple of runs tonight. Like, I think that happens, like, because we've seen ace pitchers before go through a year with just no run support, and I don't know if it's random. I mean, there's enough games where maybe they're thinking, hey, this is not a night where we need to pile on the runs. We don't need 6 runs to win. We need 4, and then you end up getting 2.
My guess is if the beat guys walk up and talk to Sale today, he'll sound totally different than he did post-game last night. And he's an emotional guy anyway. He hates losing. He's competitive. So as I said, I always kind of write off the things that he says in the aftermath of an emotional loss. But at the same time, I'm thinking, man, they're wasting some pretty good outings here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this it seems this happens to somebody every year, and it's his turn this year. But even last night, they give you a 1-0 lead, and you give it right back. And that sounds harsh, but
I'm sure he's thinking that
exactly. It's like if you know that your margin for error is that slim, and correct me if I'm wrong, that inning was that walk and then hit by pitch. So you had Mauer squared a bunt, which was unfortunate, and he just squared right into the path of the ball. So that put a guy on who probably didn't have, they were trying to give up an out right there, and you end up with 2 runners on. But even still, you have a chance to get out of that, and you don't. So I'm sure there's a part of him that's saying, I need to be better.
Right.
And he will be. You know, he'll have another night where he'll go out there and give up 5, and they'll win 7-5. It is the lot of the starting pitcher. Now, interestingly enough, and unfortunately, there's no audio of this, and Andy kind of put in some old Chris Price audio about, you know,
David Price.
About Fortnite and all
Chris
that
Price
stuff.
Audio right?
Chris Price. Well, we've out lots of audio for that.
Rubbing lotion.
That's that lotion sound.
Yeah,
we got rid of that.
We're not allowed to play anymore.
That was deleted.
Yeah, we dumped that.
So the question here is he, and I never know this, is he serious? Is he joking? Is he?
He's trying to joke.
He's trying
I believe
to joke.
This is an attempt at a joke
oh,
by
this
him.
This is definitely humor.
But it's terrible. Mind. Nobody's laughing. Like, does he think it's funny? Do his teammates think it's funny? I always wonder, like, when he did the rant before about how he's the softest guy in the clubhouse, who was that for? Like, who enjoyed that? Is somebody laughing about it? Like, hey, you showed the media and the fans there, David. That was hilarious.
I'm soft. You know, it's cold, I can't pitch. You know, if my hands
that
tingling,
happened though, but that
I can't
happened.
Do my job.
How are you going to joke about that?
That's it.
So he's joking about bagging out of a Yankee start when he did it twice. I mean, one start he actually started and then had to leave. The other one he just missed altogether. And then he's trying to be sarcastic about it, but that's the reality. You pitched one inning against the Yankees this year. And then he's doing this thing last night about how he's not an all-star. So I guess I don't know what $32 million a year gets you anymore. Apparently not an all-star in the American League.
He's not an all-star, though.
He's also right that he's soft. He's right about both these things, but he's trying to be funny about it. And he's saying, yeah, I'm not an all-star.
Yeah, but see, he doesn't think he's soft.
He is, though.
No, I'm saying he's not. This isn't some self-enlightenment on his part.
But so does he think he's an all-star?
Being tough or soft and that kind of thing.
I'm soft. Period. It's not a joke. I'm soft.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're trying to joke or whatever you're doing, the double negative or what we're working with there, but it's a mess, and he can't let it go. He can't let it go. When was the last time a beat reporter or any member of the media mentioned Fortnite with him? and that he has to bring it up. He's like, oh, I'm gonna play Fortnite, so I don't have to play. Well, yeah, you got carpal tunnel, we all believe, because of Fortnite. And now you're joking around that you're going to do that rather than pitching in the All-Star game. And then you're saying how you voted for Matt Barnes for the All-Star game. Like, what is happening?
He's got a history of this, though.
He
Go
can't
back
help
to
himself.
Twitter with the whole, well, I guess I can't win a playoff game. That whole thing.
Yeah,
that
can't.
Nobody was talking about, but he threw it out there. He must be the worst poker player in the world.
Correct.
Because his tells are so obvious. People think I'm soft. I'm going to talk about how I'm soft because I'm not soft. And it's not in my head at all how soft I am.
Not at all.
I never think about being soft.
Because usually, like, self-deprecation, you hear that and you kind of laugh about it. You say, oh, that's a good guy. Like, that's fine. That's what but with him, it comes across terribly. Like, and he can't help himself at all. He's going to continue to bring these things up about how soft he is because he knows people have said that about him, how people have blamed Fortnite. I mean, that was the biggest Red Sox talker for a whole week. Was
we
how much
did
Fortnite
that
play.
Day.
Yes.
By the way, the partial carpal tunnel thing seems to have disappeared, doesn't it?
Yeah, because he also said he was going to stop playing in the clubhouse. So maybe they're related.
Yeah, but he's not playing anywhere else, right?
But now he's going to play all the time, so he can't pitch in the All-Star game.
A little dry needling, maybe.
But you're joking about not being an All-Star when you're the highest paid guy in franchise history, and you're in the early years. This is year three of a terrible 7-year deal, and you're joking about how you're not an All-Star? Listen, you don't have to win the Cy Young every single year, but you can't be an All-Star. It's awful. And I know he's on a good run, but it shows you how bad the start was, where his run, the last 7 starts, have been very good. You'll tip your cap to him there, David. That's a great job. The last 7 starts, his ERA is still worse than Sales and you know, half the rotation, most of the rotation.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he's the highest paid pitcher in baseball history.
Oh, baseball
for
history?
Total. Yeah,
okay,
for total. Yeah, because I think what's it called in with the Dodgers was 215 Kershaw.
Oh, yeah,
he's
okay.
215. So I don't think there's anyone higher. So you're the highest paid pitcher in the history of baseball.
Yeah, you can't be an All-Star. Why would we hope for something like that?
Honestly, though, aren't we all hoping the same thing? Pitch really well and opt out and leave.
Yes. Sale, Rodriguez, Porcello, and obviously Steven Wright, but that's only 3 starts, all have a better ERA than David Price. And he's joking about playing Fortnite again. Like, let it go. Just keep pitching well. Keep pitching well, you're going to win the fans back. You keep pitching well, you're going to do that. But then when you sound like a dink every time people talk to you, I don't know how you can root for him.
There's always a little edge of sort of malevolence, too, to his joking, you know, the Fortnite, the soft stuff. It's always like, who wants to challenge me? Who wants to challenge me?
Yeah.
Call me soft in my face.
But that's because, and he's getting more and more ammo because he's putting together a good string of starts.
Yeah,
so if he goes out tonight and gets shelled, he's not going to be joking about Fortnite.
Yeah, and let's not forget, when the Eck thing happened last year, he was on a good run. He had just had maybe his best start of the season.
So you're saying this is a predictor of behavior yet to come?
Well,
he gets on a roll, and the next thing you know,
seems like it.
Look out,
he
feels
like, yeah, he feels
like
a little emboldened.
Don't get in his way. Don't say anything bad about him.
He gets emboldened, and then it goes the wrong way.
I still think there's a chance he does opt out.
Oh, I do too.
Okay,
I absolutely do.
He's
I don't think he wants to be here. That's
it's a ton of money. Like, there's no doubt it's a ton of money. But if he continues to pitch like this, maybe they can overlook a bad playoff start, which is inevitable, and they can, you know, somebody
and a shredded elbow
in the National League. Well, it's, unique.
Unique
it's
elbow.
Not shredded.
Magic.
It's unique magic elbow and shoulder and wrist.
Yeah, I don't see how he passes a physical. That's probably the biggest impediment
to
leaving.
That's a good point.
But
he's got all these things.
I think
he's
got.
I
think there is. I'm with Keith. I think there is a shot that he opts out if he has a good year, just to get out, even though he's clearly going to end up leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
So the Red Sox play game 2 of their 3-game series in Minnesota against the Twins tonight. They wrap it up with afternoon baseball tomorrow, getaway game, and we'll have the game here. And then we're going to have post-game coverage.
How about that?
Keith and I are going to be on after the game tomorrow.
Nice. The real post-game show, they call it.
Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that works
real
for me.
So branding for that?
Yeah.
Well, fine by me.
That's what we're going to call it.
We'll steal it. God knows it's what we do in our business.
You know what's amazing tomorrow night, even more amazing than that? I'm going to be on 7 to 10 with Mike Mitnanski.
He's doing the night show tomorrow?
He's doing the night show.
Stop
Dead
it.
Dead serious.
Stop it.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, it's a special draft show. It's not even really probably Mud at Night anymore. It's just NBA draft show. So it's a little
bit
different.
I think that's a big part of it. But yeah. But he's actually going to be in attendance.
That's crazy. That should be a lot of fun.
Mutt in the house late at night.
Wow. What a concept.
I'm not talking Red Sox. He's here late at night for that.
Sometimes.
Okay. He's like Trump.
sometimes.
Mutt's like Trump licensing his name to hotels that he has nothing to do with. It's just the Mutt at Night brand.
Mutt at Night.
But it's licensed to pretty much everybody else at
with
the station.
Chris Filani.
Except him. Yeah, exactly. And Rob Bradford.
We will talk to Alex Cora in just a few minutes, as we do every Wednesday. Last week with baseball, afternoon baseball, we got pushed back by a day. There was a fascinating piece by Jason Mastrodonato in the Herald yesterday or the day before, I think it was yesterday, about Alex not only, you know, willing to use social media, but trying to use it to his advantage. I love the story about before the Red Sox play a team, he'll start following that team's beat reporters on Twitter just to see if he can pick up something.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of coaches or managers in professional sports do this. Like, we've heard the stories about college coaches just, you know, following their own guys just to sort of keep up with some of the stuff going on. But why not? There's extra information out there. Now, most of it's not useful. Like, we're all on Twitter. Most of it on there is not useful. But you could probably find a few things that maybe help you. Maybe, you know, a beat writer has a stat that you didn't think of, or a trend, something that's going on with an opponent or an injury thing or whatever else. Why not? Pretty good. And hey, in that article, too, and not that we haven't picked up on this throughout all of our weekly interviews with him, but very human, like very human, and talking about how, yeah, like if you get criticized, you don't feel great about it. Like obviously that's going to bother you a little bit.
Just to kind of put a bow on the whole Jackie Bradley Jr. thing, the Twitter site Red Sox Stats puts out the note. It says, when Jackie sits, it doesn't help. The Sox have a .672 win percentage when he starts, .615 when he doesn't. When you've got J.D. Martinez in left and Andrew Benintendi in center, it is not a good look for the Red Sox.
Not as good. It's definitely not as good defensively.
It's not. Yeah, it's not what you're looking
but
for.
I guess, like, to what end? So are we talking end of July, Bradley's hitting .180? Like, that's fine? Like, how often does a major leaguer go through the entire season never hitting above .200?
You have to win a Gold Glove.
You gotta be like Ozzie Smith, Omar Vizquel.
Exactly. You have to be a Gold Glove shortstop, catcher, or
you think center fielder?
Center fielder,
yeah, maybe.
So you got a shot at it. And plus, there's no real obvious place to turn. I don't want Benintendi in center. And I definitely don't want J.D. Martinez in left.
And the beauty of it too, and I think a lot of guys, whether it's second base, catcher, third base more often than not, because you have maybe the two best players in the American League, at least right now, like production wise. I know Trout's amazing, but Betts and Martinez are both MVP candidates. They can make up for a lot of other guys that are struggling.
Have you seen what Trout is doing the last
couple of
weeks? He never makes an out.
He's hitting like 700. It's insane.
Trout's ridiculous.
He literally, if he goes to the batter's box, he doesn't return to the dugout until some trip around the bases.
But he's also the perfect argument when you talk about, you know, what the
and
best
team
player
is like 1-9 in their
last. Yeah, they suck. That's my point.
In the standings in like the last 10.
In basketball, what the best player can do for a team. In football, what a quarterback can do for a team. It's like that. It's very telling, and they should win a lot. Best player in baseball can be surrounded by a bunch of losers, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like he can be awesome, and he can have the greatest WAR year after year, you know, rivaling Barry Bonds and Babe Ruth. But if you have bad pitching and bad teammates, then
and 15 guys on the DL and Otani probably having Tommy John, so that doesn't help. But yeah, it's insane. Like he's playing at a level that we have not seen since the height of the roided up Bonds era.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's nuts. He's gonna be another one of those guys where you look at the Baseball Reference in a few years and just laugh at the numbers and just say what was he doing?
And when you wonder if he gets frustrated.
Oh, he has to.
Oh my God. Played,
how could you not?
Yeah. But we haven't heard a word about, you know, wanting out of there or anything like that. But you would think he would want to.
No, he talked about it last night, I think. I was reading Bob Nightingale, maybe, and he's just saying, you know,
this is it.
Time now to talk to the Red Sox manager, Alex Cora. Alex brought to you by Arbella Insurance, your New England Honda dealers, and Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox radio network. Alex joins us from Minnesota, where the Sox take on the Twins tonight. Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great, thank you. Your starting pitcher last night, Chris Sale, expressed a little bit of frustration, and I understand that. He's having an outstanding year, and yet, you know, the win-loss record isn't quite what he would or you would want it to be. How do you make sure that frustration doesn't dig in deeper for him?
You know, I talk to him on a daily basis, and the way he acts in the clubhouse and the way he helps his teammates tells me that he's okay. I mean, obviously, He's been going deep into ball games. He hasn't got luck on the win column, but he's controlling what he can control, and he's giving us a chance to win. And he's been outstanding. You look at the numbers, and seven innings, eight innings. He went deep into a ball game in Baltimore the other day that we needed. So we're very pleased with the way he's going. And every time we go out there, I know we're trying to score runs. It hasn't happened yet.
Tie game in the eighth inning, you turn to Robbie Scott in his season debut. What went into that decision?
Two lefties on top of the lineup, a switch hitter hitting third, and a ninth hitting that he was hitting 180, 189. So, we felt that was the window that, that's what he's here for. That's why he got called up for this series, to get those lefties out. He walked the first guy, hit by pitch in the second one. Then Rosario put a good at bat. He got him out. But then after that, I felt that We needed to go with Joe, regardless of the splits of Escobar. He's been our best guy, and with first and second, I wasn't going to take a chance there. So we went with Joe, and it didn't work out.
Well, in the eighth inning, was there any thought of starting the inning with Joe Kelly, knowing how good he is against lefties as well?
Yeah, up by one, he was going to be the guy. One thing, we were going with Robbie down or tie. Sometimes you can't chase wins. It's very important to keep the bullpen rested and be ready for the rest of the week. It didn't work out. We still needed, we went to Joe. So, not in a perfect situation, and it didn't work out.
Alex, for as long as you've been in baseball, can you ever wrap your head around these baseball kind of things that you could be 8-8 and Chris Sale starts and 13-1 and Erod starts, and it's just the randomness of numbers? What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's how important wins and losses are for pitchers. I know it matters for them, but in a real world, if you think about it, you cannot control the result of the game. The only thing you can control is your outing, how far you can go, and give the team a chance to win. And we've seen it the other way. Guys that give up five runs and they go six, and the team scores eight, and they got a W, and it looks great on the baseball card, in the back of the baseball card. And then there's guys that go seven, they score one, we score one, and you lose the game, just like Steven Wright in Seattle. So it's the nature of the game. That's how it goes, and I think that's why people, they pay attention to the game now. I know, they care about wins or losses, but they don't really care.
We've talked to you a couple of times this year about Jackie Bradley Jr. and his issues at the plate. When you look at his entire game, his outfield defense, we saw the arm on display again last night. How is it that you decide that he brings more to the table than any other alignment you might have out there?
No, it's just a matter of the quality of the bats. And I've been saying it all along. The last 2 weeks, if you really been watching the games and the approach and the way he's been hitting the ball, there's luck involved. And he's been hitting missiles all over the place. And, I think there's only been a few that have, show up for hits. So he's doing, I think, right now, as far as his approach, we're very pleased. There's no more toe tap. There's no more leg kick. He's very consistent, getting that foot down and staying inside the ball. So we like what we see at the plate, and obviously you guys know what he's doing in the outfield. He's one of the best outfielders in the big leagues. He shuts down the running game. He cuts down balls in the gap, and he's outstanding in the outfield. So for him to hit nine for this team and play defense the way he is, I think right now he's the perfect guy.
How is he handling it mentally? Because I would think it would wear on a player as you get later into the season, looking up on the jumbo screen every time you dig in, you're hitting in the low 180s. How is he handling that?
He's been good, actually. Sometimes, in that series in Seattle, and even in Baltimore, he hit a few missiles right at people, and it gets to the point that as a manager, you go, hey, what to hit the ball, stay with it. What to hit the ball, stay with it. And sometimes, like, you don't even know what to say, because I play the game and I know what is to struggle. And I know that, you want to find hits. It's the old saying, you want to go 4-for-4 with four blue singles or 0-for-4 with four missiles right at somebody, because that's the process. But, hey, at the end of the day, you know what you want. You want the single. So you stay with the player. You keep with him. You stay with him. You talk to him. And, we can't complain about him. When he gets on, he runs the bases the right way. He puts pressure on it. And then he goes to and plays defense every time. He gives 100%, and it seems like he's not bothering him.
Alex, two random questions for you. I know he's not your player anymore, but are you surprised that Hanley is just sitting out there still?
Yeah, I mentioned it a week ago. The question has been came up twice, I think, over the course of the road trip. Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, he's a guy that, although the struggles and where he fit in a roster, you know, with versatility and all that stuff, where we were going, I still think there's baseball left in Hanley Ramirez, so I'm very surprised.
And the other one is when somebody like Ken Rosenthal very publicly floats the idea of Rafael Devers for Manny Machado, I'm sure you're aware of that. How do you react, and what, if anything, do you say to Devers when his name starts appearing in stories like that?
I don't know if Rafi knows about what's going on. The only thing he knows is he's locked in and he's working hard at his craft, and you can see the adjustments on the plate. But actually, I had this conversation with a buddy of mine this morning, and he asked me, Alex, how that works, you know, the whole July trade deadline. You know, I say, well, I was lucky enough to work in a network that we cover that, and it's like when you're cooking pasta, you know how it is? You grab the noodles and you throw it to the wall,
yep.
And some of them stick and the other ones don't stick. I think that's the way it works, honestly. And I saw it, I lived it. So whenever the guys ask me, I can go by to my media experience, you know, at ESPN, and I can tell them how it works. You know, like sometimes what you see is not the truth.
I do want to ask you one other question about Devers. He's just 21 years old. Hit a bomb last night. You know, he's on a pace for about 24, 25 home runs, about 80 runs batted in. But defense is an issue with 13 errors, I think, so far this year. Is that an area of the game that you can improve on? Just hard work and getting out there and being dedicated to that?
Well, it all depends how you see it. We can go to errors and you think that, you know, he's struggling, but you can go to defensive run saves and he's average at the league. And he's going to make his errors, but his range to the left and to the right is up there with the best of the league. He has a great arm. He has a good sense of the game. So we're very pleased. I'm very pleased with the way he's playing third base. I know that's part of the equation. And, you know, errors are just errors. You know, I think errors were a big deal in the 80s and the 90s. I don't think they're a big deal now. I think there's more into the equation, and we're very pleased with the numbers that we have.
David Price getting the start tonight. He's pitched really well as of late, but yesterday he's joking around again about Fortnite. Do you feel like he should just let it go, or are you okay with him kind of talking about how soft he is and how much video games he plays?
I don't think he's soft. I think he's been playing video games for a long, long time. You know, sometimes I don't even know why they're talking in the clubhouse. So as long as he goes out there and performs the way he's done it the last six or seven, we're very pleased, man. The way he threw the ball in Seattle, you know, Jerry DePoto, the GM for Seattle, he mentioned it to Dave the next day. That's the best he's seen David Price, the best he's seen this year against his team, and that's a pretty good team. So we're very pleased where he has, man.
So even though
it doesn't come into the equation, man.
Yeah. So even though he seems fixated on some of the criticisms of him, you don't care.
Nah.
Never.
Alex, who's your favorite follow him in the local media on Twitter?
Red Sox Stats. And he's not media.
That was put on
it
a tee for you
John
to say
Tomasi.
Bradford.
It is not. No. Oh.
That guy. You guys follow him.
I do. I just gave one of his stats a minute ago.
Sure. We all do. We all think he works for you.
Well, at one point when I was working last year in Houston, I thought he worked for the Red Sox, and he was a great source for us. Sometimes he needs to be careful because he's giving too much information to the opposition.
Well, we were joking about it a few moments ago. He was talking about the fact that when JBJ plays, your team has a .672 winning percentage when he starts. When he doesn't, it's .615.
Wow. So, hey, there you go. He's in the lineup tonight.
I'll still take Bradford, just so you know.
No. I don't follow him anymore.
Time now for the Cumberland Farms Question of the Week for Alex Cora, brought to you by Cumberland Farms. Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every Wednesday. This question comes from Andrew DeSanti in Torrington, Connecticut. He says, what is your process on scouting free agents and evaluating who could help your team down the stretch?
There's a lot of people that have to that is involved in that decision. You know, from my end, as you guys know, I'm very aware of what's going on in the league. I'm a fan of the game, so you know who's good, you know who's struggling this year. you know who's injured, but I don't know. I can answer that question probably in a month. But right now, it's just a matter of gathering information and you know communicating with Dave, the analytic department, and the front office, and then we go from there.
Any changes to the lineup tonight?
Holt is playing second. Eduardo's not playing, and we got the same guys, but just Holt is playing. He's hitting seventh.
Okay. Alex, we always...
And Christian is playing. My bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
You guys take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That is Red Sox manager Alex Cora joining us from Minnesota. Sorry, Bradfo. He doesn't even follow you.
He unfollowed all of us. We all noticed that because he followed all of the Boston media last year when he was working for the Astros.
Oh, he bailed on it.
But yeah, he bailed on all of us. Yeah.
Smart. Probably a smart move.
I will say, having followed Red Sox stats for a while, he doesn't like attention. He doesn't want, like, you know, who is he? Can he be unmasked? Like that kind of stuff. So I don't think he's going to like
shout-out
from
Brian Colangelo's wife? Any chance?
It's possible.
Maybe?
Possible.
Certainly sounds as though the manager of the Red Sox is in no hurry to take his center fielder out of the lineup. And that would fly in the face of what many Red Sox fans are saying right now. I know fans hate it when they hear this term, but Cora's talking about, you know, luck is involved here. And what he's saying is he's seeing Jackie Bradley Jr. hit line drives over the last couple of weeks, but hitting them right at people. There is something to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that plenty of times. And I know with exit velocity and all that kind of stuff now, teams have a better idea of who is maybe about to get hot. Color me a little skeptical on that one, though, because the results have been so consistently exactly like this.
He strikes out a lot,
for the bulk of his career, he strikes out a lot. I'm not seeing that. I mean, I think that might be one of the relatively few examples of Cora sort of pumping up a guy publicly in ways that maybe would have been reminiscent of his predecessor.
See, I think also if you go with probably the truth, you end up insulting several players. Because in all seriousness, it's, yeah, Bradley can't hit, but who else can? Like the guys that aren't in the lineup every day, whoever would be getting those at bats is not that much of an improvement. So that makes you, it sounds like you're ripping three or four guys. So you might as well just say, hey, he's ripping these line drives. Because luck is definitely a part of baseball. But, you know, guys who consistently hit 300 every year, I guess they have the best luck, or are they just really good hitters?
Yeah, and this is also how, I mean, if you want to say, be critical a little bit of the way Dombrowski has gone about building the team, you suddenly have no depth anywhere at all. You know,
none.
You've become a very top-heavy major league team, which is exactly what you were in Detroit, and it caught up to you in Detroit.
Yeah.
And you start
top
to look
heavy,
at
no,
it.
No farm system.
No farm system. Not a lot of depth even on the big league roster, really. And then you look at, oh, man, Sale could be up after, what, 19?
Yeah.
And Porcello's going to be up in 19. And Price could opt out. J.D. Martinez could opt out in 2 years.
Right.
You got Mookie and Bogarts coming down. So there's a lot of moving parts, and it could all be coming to a head, like, next year. So
if I was J.D. Martinez, and based on how he hits at Fenway Park, I would see if I could sign a lifetime deal.
Yeah, you do, like, yeah, the CC or A-Rod.
For this place, isn't
you
he?
Opt out and say, now you're going to pay me what I'm worth.
Right.
Right, and if they don't, somebody will, even though they don't get to play at Fenway half the season. Somebody will. I mean, the numbers, because last year, maybe teams looked at it and said, well, you know, he hasn't done this too many times, contract year, Arizona, certain things, but watching him do it again this year, if he does it next year, yeah, he's going to make a ton of money. But you're right, their window is, even though they have a lot of young guys, the window is still this year and next year.
Yeah, that's what I wrote the day that they made, I don't know if it was the Sale trade, but it was after that offseason. There is a 3-year window that started last year, and I'm in on that more than ever. It just feels like, you got to do something. That's why the Machado stuff, in one sense, is not as crazy as you initially think. Because you're like, well, if it's all coming to an end next year anyway, you want to maximize the 2 years that you have where you know that you have all these guys.
I know that a lot has been talked about, and I happen to be on a talk show in San Diego this morning.
Oh, was it my friends, the Loose Cannons?
No.
Those guys?
It was Dan Cilio. Former WEEI weekend fill-in. Dan Cilio. See, I didn't actually, you know, promote the Dork podcast.
You should have. That's what they did in San Diego. We got a nice bump in listenership out there in San
Diego.
Yeah, the Loose Cannons. Good friends of mine.
You went from how many to how many?
More than less.
Yeah. Yeah. Numbers aren't important. It's about percentages.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But what
we have a small niche audience, Dale. Thanks for asking.
But what they were talking about was how, you know, the Yankees are on this offensive juggernaut pace of biblical proportions. At some point or another, you'd think that offense, you know, runs into slumps more than pitching does, but I've seen no signs of it so far.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're talking offense, Red Sox are still second in runs. So, like, offense really hasn't been a major issue for them. So you can kind of piece together and survive the black hole areas of the lineup.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what they're doing.
The top of their lineup. He is at Dork Podcast going on iTunes. You can follow him on Twitter at Keefe21. Rich Keefe.
Pretty good.
That whole radio show thing just sort of slipped by them, did it?
Yeah, they didn't know if Dale and Keith was going to stick, so they left that out, and they just went with
Well,
Dork
Dan
Podcast.
Cilio.
They know Dorkcast is forever.
That is evergreen.
Promoted me as being co-host of Dale and Keith.
That's good.
On WEP.
No, that's nice of them.
So you got mentioned on
them. Yeah, they didn't say from zero pucks given. They didn't start with that.
Well, they didn't, and I didn't bring it up either.
Well,
it was funny because he did introduce me as the only guy who's done play-by-play for all four Major League teams.
Did you correct him?
I did.
Because, of course, the answer is five.
It's just a little nitpicky here,
that's
but
nice.
There was that fifth.
Yeah.
That fifth one that you're skipping. But a lot of people are thinking and I think Mark James said it here yesterday. Now, the Red Sox are going to have this great season. They're going to win 103 games, and the Yankees are going to win 108.
Yeah, and the Astros are going to win 112.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's looking like.
There's a 7.5 game difference between the Mariners, who have the second wild card, and the next team in the standing, I think the Angels. It's such a weirdly top-heavy season for baseball this year. You already know for sure four of the playoff teams.
Right.
And then it's like, does Seattle, you know, maintain their pace or not?
And then it all comes down to a play-in game.
Yeah.
So you could win 100 and whatever games, and you could have a one-game play-in against Seattle or whoever. They get, you know, Paxton pitches really well, and then you're done.
Yeah. What was the
there
year?
Goes your season.
There was like an NL West year in the 90s where the Braves and Giants both won 100. It was like 103 and 102, and one of them was out. You just got nothing.
Easy come,
sorry,
easy
Giants,
go.
You got nothing.
There's your season.
Now, a texter suggests that this Alex Cora act, I'm putting my quotation fingers up here, says, Cora can't remain everybody's friend. This can't last.
He doesn't sound like everybody's friend.
I don't think he's everybody's friend.
And I don't think that
they're playing 700 baseball.
I was going to say, I don't think the texter means players. He means the media. The media loves this guy. I don't know anybody in the media who's had a crossword to say about him.
No.
And to your point, John, they're playing 700 baseball, so chill. But I don't know anybody who's written anything even slightly critical.
What has there been to write? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, but let's be honest. That hasn't slowed people down for Bill Belichick, for Tom Brady. I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah, but he's been here a couple months, you know. I mean, and in the cases you mentioned, okay, Malcolm Butler is certainly debatable, so you can write something pointed about that. Cora hasn't given you any ammo yet.
What about, and I know it's
and
still,
he will.
Well, playoff time. Again, like this team, David Price, who's going tonight, and Alex Cora, the manager, like the playoff time is the most important thing. They won the division the last 2 years. So obviously having a good regular season is not the most important thing. It's winning the World Series. So they need to advance in the playoffs. So those games count tenfold. Like those are going to be the most important games. So if Price struggles or if Cora screws up the bullpen in the playoffs, then yeah, you're going to get plenty of criticism.
Yeah, and you asked him about the Robbie Scott move, which we're all wondering why we watched it. Why is Joe Kelly not in this game? Try that in the postseason.
Correct.
And,
not going
to
fly.
And we'll see, you know, to Dale's point, we'll see if he skates on that.
I still didn't like that. I did not like going with Robbie Scott there. And I thought it was a little bit different. I know Robbie Scott pitched last year. Even though he's, you know, later 20s, he hasn't been in the league a long time. Last year was his only full year in the majors. But this is his first start now, or his first appearance of the year. You remember opening day, he wouldn't go with Bobby Point. That was a major league debut compared to a season debut. That's clearly what that is.
Yeah.
But 2-2 game in the eighth, he talks about, oh, you got lefties coming up. Well, the first batter he faced was a righty. And then you have, what, two lefties and a switch hitter. But Joe Kelly is better on lefties this year than Robbie Scott was last year.
Yeah, you'd like to think that Robbie Scott could come in and not walk the nine hitter, you know? Like
ideally.
Yeah.
Ideally, but if Robbie Scott's your lefty specialist, the first guy he faces this season is a righty. Is that Is that what you want to do? And it's the eighth inning. And I get his point. He told us you don't want to chase wins, but
fans want you to chase wins.
But why? I don't
know. You know that classic, hey, you know, wins mean as much now as they do in September here, Alex.
But so Kelly hasn't pitched in like 5 days, right? And so what if you score a run in the top of the ninth? And so if Scott pitches the eighth, then you score a run in the ninth, here comes Kimbrel for the save, game's over, Kelly never even pitches. I don't know why Kelly didn't pitch the eighth inning. I mean, he told us. He told us why, and he ended up pitching, and he ended up pitching poorly, but he didn't. It wasn't a clean inning for him. So that's one. I mean, that's – but, again, it's they're 49-25. You can probably count on one hand's, you know, decisions that you didn't really like, but it's not ones that you're going to lose your mind about. And then he has a reason for it. I happen to disagree with it, but he told us why.
Yeah, and that's one out of 162. I mean, one inning out of one game.
Hard to lose your mind.
Hard to lose your mind. Right. And we can try.
Sure.
And we've heard him already earlier in the year say, hey, look, my bad. He could have done that. He could have done that about last night's decision, but he felt he did the right thing.
Oh, yeah, the one where he forgot. Forgot to make
outfield.
The defensive replacement.
Yeah, the outfield. Yeah. You know what? I screwed that up.
I was so excited. I looked around and said, whoops.
Yeah, didn't
rookie manager.
Love that, but it happens, I guess.
I know we hear this. Well, sports talk show hosts hear this a lot. Not just us. Sports talk show hosts, period. You're just completely on this guy's side. Completely on that team's side. You won't say anything critical about this person. You won't say anything critical about these guys. And by the way, criticism is kind of our stock in trade here. But I just don't have a lot to be critical about Alex Cora about.
No, and it's not like there are how many people are really out there saying, you're letting this guy off easy.
No, I don't think
there's
so.
There's nothing to say it about.
I mean,
name his three worst decisions of the year.
Well, I just did.
Even if you think he was responsible for Hanley being cut loose, if you buy that, okay, his idea that and Dave Dombrowski said, damn it, that's a great idea, and away he goes. Nobody else wants him either.
And more to the point, Hanley seems happy on yachts and beaches.
He's doing all right. Yeah, he's having a good time.
He doesn't seem interested.
$22 million.
I think if he were that interested in playing, he would be playing somewhere.
Probably.
See, I think he's not playing, to your point, because he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Somebody would give him $230,000 or somewhere in that vicinity, the prorated portion of the veteran's minimum. Somebody would be giving that to him now to play. How about Detroit with Miguel Cabrera down?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it when you were reading off the WAR numbers. Red Sox are third with Mitch Moreland, so there are a lot of teams looking for first baseman, and he's still
out
there.
Why is first base down? That's like a bigger
issue. That is weird because Cora said that a couple
time.
Weeks ago that Moreland should be an All Star, and I'm like, really? But then you start looking at the other first baseman in the American League, and there's nothing. There's really nothing there.
That used to be the position. Like Rafael Palmeiro would hit 320 with all these bombs and not make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
Just because it was an absolutely loaded spot. And now, nothing.
Yeah,
and even center field. Center field used to be this glamour position, and it's down. I mean, there's still a few studs, but it's not like you look across the league. Now there's like more defensive center fielders than there are, you know, offensive center fielders.
And by the way, for those people who are suggesting this, and I've seen this suggested in a couple of places, Rusney Castillo could be hitting 600 in Pawtucket. He would not be here.
No. I mean,
get it out of your head. Well, he's raking in Pawtucket. Get him up here.
Well, so it's very strange, the whole Rusney Castillo thing. There'd be probably a very boring 30 for 30 on him someday because it was the Cuban players were so good. There's a list of them. They were awesome. Jose Abreu was one of them. Chapman. There's a lot. Puig. There's all these guys that were great. And then you say, hey, the Red Sox, they've missed out on all these guys. They need to get somebody. But you knew it was going to burn out. They weren't. Every one of them wasn't going to be an all-star. So they get Rusney Castillo, who stinks. They give him a shot. He's not good. You don't really know what he is. And you remember, and John, you probably know better than either of us, the stories about him when they were getting him, like what kind of player he's going to be, like the power and the speed and everything put together. You're like, this guy sounds perfect.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? I remember talking to people in the Red Sox front office right before they signed him, you know, so what is he like? Well, he doesn't really stand out in any area. Like, you know, he's got a pretty good speed, good arm.
They
he has
said
a great
he can steal
arm.
A lot of bases, yeah.
He's pretty good speed, pretty good power. He's one of these guys, he's going to be just solid across the board.
Like,
and I'm like, that's someone you're going to break the bank for? Like, so that doesn't sound – no, it's not. I'm making it sound worse than it is. But
no,
like,
you
I don't think they were even sold.
So they get him, and then – is it a loophole or what's the deal with his salary? Like they were able to, he doesn't count against the luxury tax, but
yeah,
only
he's
because
non-roster.
But
he's,
if you, but if you add him to the roster,
boom,
and bring
then
him
he
up
does.
Here, then
that's
it
the
does
point.
Count.
Then you're prorating his salary based on how long he's here. So you could,
correct.
You could afford him. As weird as it sounds, yeah. You could afford to call him up at some point later in the season or for a short amount of time, but they're
how many years
trying to maintain
left,
their
know?
Flexibility. Oh, like three.
Oh, my
like
goodness.
Three more
gracious.
After this
That's
one,
why I
think.
Said if he was hitting 600 in Pawtucket, he wouldn't be here.
Not right now. He could be later. It's not his whole. Last year, he had no chance.
No.
Zero
yeah.
chance. I think I figured it out. It was like $57,000 a day that he would count towards the luxury tax, and you start to do the math. You're like, oh, yeah, they could have him up for a week.
So he just gets
max.
Paid all this money to play in the International League.
It's a great life.
It's unbelievable.
Ripping
though,
it up there, though, Keith.
No, I'm sure that he is, but it's just, it's bizarre to me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.